Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast on this pay-per-view week. Are they pay-per-views still? I don't know. You don't pay to view them, you pay a monthly subscription fee. Anyway, every week on this podcast, we talk about the world of professional wrestling with someone cool from the comedy world, not just me, even though I'm cool from the comedy world. My guest this week is Mr. Matt Mazzani. Matt Mazzani, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Excited to be here. This is a good week. I'm very excited to talk about wrestling, everything wrestling.
The pay-per-view weeks are always the fun weeks. A lot of spec to be had. Matt's a really funny guy. He does a lot of sketch comedy. He does all kinds of stuff. I don't care. I only care that he's a professional wrestling fan, an authentic one. I see your Facebook posts. I see you're in the mix.
I'm actually, I'm at this point now where I'm like, I've got to like, because like any Facebook, social media, you're kind of like presenting yourself in a certain way. I think all my Twitter is now is just retweeting like the Larietto Twitter, which just does gifs of Japanese wrestling. And I just can't get enough of that right now.
So love the Japanese wrestling.
That's what I grew up on, Japanese wrestling. That's my favorite shit was, is this a cussing podcast, by the way?
You can only cuss on this podcast.
All right. My favorite shit from back in the day was AJPW, All Japan Pro Wrestling back in the 90s.
Right.
Like Misawa, Kobashi, Kawada, Taue, Steve Williams, Vader. What? These guys are just like, they're just big.
Dr. Death.
Dude, have you ever seen his Japan stuff?
No, I only saw him during the Attitude Era for like a couple seconds.
Oh, that was sad.
I'm surprised that he even wrestled in Japan. I didn't even know about that.
Dude, him and Stan Hansen, like these are like these big, old, fat guys that were just like tough, like bar fight mustache guys, and they would just punch each other in the face,
shooters,
dropping people on their necks, and it's the awesomest stuff. It's my favorite stuff.
So this is interesting. Your favorite stuff is when the fighting is real, as real as possible.
I love like the strong style stuff is my favorite. Like and like there's like that new Wrestle Kingdom. I've seen a couple of those where they have like a belt for strong style,
right?
And they do those like head bump. Have you seen those headbutts they do?
Yeah.
Where they just, their whole point is to like let the crowd hear that the head is touching the head. It's a bizarre.
No, I've never seen that.
Oh, it's nasty. They just do a straight like arms down headbutt and you can hear the things go like.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And I don't love that, but there's the other stuff is just really fun. Yeah, like big beefy fighter guys, tough guys.
It's funny. I would say that I enjoy when the wrestling looks real. It's cool if it looks real, but for me it's not the emphasis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the emphasis is on just, for me, is like the fun and the theatrics and the storytelling and the promos. I'm big on the mic. I think the mic matters most to me.
And I love the mic stuff, but there is something about sports, like sports right now, like if you're like right now, so let's say if you're watching basketball, Golden State Warriors just crushing the Cavs. And then if the Cavs came back and then won four games in a row, what a great story. But that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
And what's great about wrestling is you get that perfect story where, Hogan does slam Andre, even though that shouldn't happen, but it does. And
right.
That's why I love the kind of like simulated sports aspect of
it. Well, it's
what
elevates it. It makes it better than real sports.
Exactly. Yes.
Is that real sports have a cap because of the competitive aspect. We get competition and storytelling and the level of competition in wrestling is harder because you have to win a crowd, gladiator style.
Yeah.
If you're just good at basketball, the crowd will like you unless you're an asshole.
Yeah.
But wrestling to like win the crowd over.
Yeah.
Is the biggest X factor. It's the most fascinating thing to me about wrestling is like getting over with the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is what I think is cool. But yeah, I went to PWG recently. I went to Lucha Underground taping.
Yeah.
I saw, what's his name? Sammy Callahan, I believe his name is. The guy who was Solomon Crowe.
Oh, yeah. I saw PWG where he came back. It was a big to-do.
Yeah, I watched him wrestle in Lucha Underground and PWG, and he wears strong style. It says it on his knee pad.
Yeah.
And I see what he means by that. It looks like he's really hurting guys.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand the total point of that because I'm just like, well, I know it's fake. I don't care I almost prefer, if we're going to get into it, I prefer like what Ricochet and like Ospreay are doing in that match.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, this is like This is like really fun and more theatric, but I think it's all gray area. It's somewhere you got to meet in the middle of all these styles.
Yeah. What I like about wrestling is that there's a huge variety. You can watch the goofy, funny stuff or crazy storylines, and then like these kind of serious matches. But I think in Japan, what I get into is they have a big thing called fighting spirit is kind of what they go for. So they're working together to like hit each other as hard as they can to prove to the crowd that they're tough and they're willing to fight. But if they're not like laying it in, it doesn't like read to them. So it has to like, that's why it's like the elbow right in the neck. And, you know, they hit hard in safe places is the thing, but it's still just like all about. Like,
I know. But sometimes for that stuff, I'm just like, why not just watch UFC?
Yeah.
Where you can actually see them hit each other. If that's what we're going to do, we're going to get in the ring. We're not going to have the proper body. Like they're not going to be in remotely bodybuilder shape where like the theatrics are thrown out. The fact that like, it's, I'm a superhero. You're not playing superhero anymore. You're fighting like bar style.
Yeah.
To me, I'm always just like, oh, well then why am I watching pro wrestling? Why is it, you know, it doesn't have that element?
Well, but I'm a big UFC fan too.
Yeah, me too.
I do watch a lot of that. But like the problem with UFC is you got a guy like Lyoto Machida.
Yeah.
Who's a total dweeb.
Yeah.
He just brings people down to like this horrible level of fighting. But he wins, so he gets to stay on top. And for that like 2006 to 2008 was like horrible.
Yeah, but then Shoga knocked him out. Twice.
Oh, that was great. I was so happy. Remember
the first one, they didn't give it to him or something. What happened there? I don't know. Whatever. Who cares? This is about pro wrestling. Forget UFC for now, except for when we talk about Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Who is?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do you feel about Brock? You know what? While we're here, UFC 200.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar. How do you feel a loss for Brock Lesnar affects his WWE career?
I was talking about this with someone, and like, I'll tell you this. If Brock loses, I think you got to put him against Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens will take that and run with it and be the biggest dickhead. He'd be the perfect person, like, it's the guy that got punched in the face. Like this guy, he gets knocked out by a New Zealander. You know, he'll just be like, and Brock will get mad and it'll be that kind of like, oh, once Brock gets his hands on Kevin Owens, and then they'll have a killer match.
Yeah.
I'd love to see
Although it's tough for Kevin Owens when he fights guys that are that big.
Yeah.
When he wrestles against Ryback.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, his finisher's a pop-up powerbomb, which is a move that involves your opponent jumping on their own for no reason.
And then he does that weird fisherman second rope buster. But I don't know. I think he can.
But he's high-flying. He also has ability to.
Yeah,
he's pretty dynamic wrestler because he's like hardcore indie talent.
Yeah, I love KO. He's the man right now.
He's the man. Kevin Owens is a big opportunity this weekend to be the new Money in the Bank briefcase holder, if you will. But we'll get into that. Let's get into Raw a little bit. Well, I want to see the thing about Lesnar is that I think it doesn't matter. I think Lesnar can lose at UFC 200.
Yeah.
And like he'll come back to wrestling and people will just think he's the man for getting in the octagon. But he's a really real possibility of getting knocked out by Mark Hunt, which, well, if he looks good in the octagon, even a little bit good, he'll come out on top for that.
Yeah, he looks well, and I'm glad he didn't. That's a great fight in terms of it. He's not taking a can. He's taking a real deal, dude. But also
real deal. Mark Hunt's on like a win. He's like he's revitalized. He's 42, but he's a real threat.
Yeah, power doesn't age that fast, so he's still got it. And I think I do think it's a good matchup for Brock. And I think because I've seen KO or I've seen Mark Hunt get taken down by, you know, less strong guys.
It's a perfect fight for Brock.
So I think it's going to come out good, but I'm buying. I'm getting that pay-per-view. I'm going to do a whole big thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited.
Man, that pay-per-view is going to be amazing. It feels like 100 was the other day.
Yeah.
But the thing about Brock Lesnar that's amazing, he's such a worker. He's such a wrestler. I watch him on SportsCenter and he's saying that he's like, you know what? I decided I want to fight. I called up Dana White and I was like, you know what? I'm ready to go in. And you're like, you're such a lot. You're such a freaking pro wrestler. What happened was, is like, they're like, UFC 200. Shit. McGregor's not fighting on this. We want this to be the biggest UFC of all time. How much money can we throw at Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
And then he's like, he's going to have the itch to get in the octagon. And then he's like, I don't even choose my opponent. Blah, blah. Like, no, you agreed to Mark Hunt because you know he's got no ground game. And that's your only chance of winning is a guy you could take down who can't do anything when you grapple with him.
Well, and here's what I love about Brock and what Brock brings out in the world is like, there, you know, because in wrestling right now, like, kayfabe's over. It's done. done.
Yeah.
But in the UFC, there's still dumb fucking marks who are falling UFC? For Brock.
Yes,
they're
that's a falling great call.
For they're, it's real deal marks. I see these guys on the internet. It's like, this guy, this fake pro wrestler. I see my friends, like my MMA friends getting all mad. And I'm like, you guys are falling for it. You're going to buy this pay-per-view to watch him get beat up. You guys are marks. Like,
terrific
real deal.
Terrific call. Yeah. There are still marks in the UFC.
It's great.
Because a wrestling fan is a more complex, more evolved fan.
Yeah, you have to.
And
be.
I know as a guy who watches all UFC fights at the Dave and Buster's.
How's that?
I love it because my wife, she likes UFC, but she doesn't want to like sit at home and watch UFC. So we'll watch it there. They show it for free. We buy like a $50 game card. And then in between we game. And then I'm like, oh, the fight's on. And you can watch it on the big screen and we'll play games. I recommend it to anybody.
I might try. I've been doing like Big Wangs and I've been like a little bored of it. We didn't have maybe I'll
I saw you post about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into Raw. So yeah. Raw. I want to say something about this Raw. Okay. So we have this pay-per-view this weekend. And this pay-per-view is being billed as a WrestleMania caliber card. And they're right. Like, there's matches on here. If this was the Mania card, I would have been more excited. And I was at Mania. I would have been more excited to watch that.
Yeah.
Like, Rollins versus Reigns, I'm more excited than that, than any match that was on the Mania card.
Yeah.
You know,
huge.
Cena versus AJ, more excited than any match that was on that Mania card.
Yeah.
Cool. Why such a goofy Raw? Did you notice how goofy this Raw was?
A lot of, yeah, there was like so much comedy. Like, it's strange that there's so much comedy in the, I get it for the tag team division because New Day is going to bring a lot of comedy into it.
But did they have to open Raw? The tag match opened Raw, right?
Yeah.
And like a goofy opening Raw segment when you could have, I don't know, the Ambrose Asylum open Raw for the main belt, or have the Money in the Bank guys open come out it. First?
I'll tell you this. Well, there's two things I liked about that segment a lot. Is one, for WWE, who usually is not like on this stuff, that they hopped on the Steph Curry shoe thing. Like, they're usually not that quick with pop culture, but they got it. Like, because next week it'd have been too late. But this is the only week they could have done jokes like that.
Right.
So good on them for that. And number two, what I loved about that segment, because it was all goofs and jokes and weird stuff. And then as soon as Anderson and Gallows came out, they kind of like undercut everything, which like they're kind of like fun because they're generic tough guys,
but they like relieved a lot of tension when they came out. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah,
thank God to see some like guys who are gonna treat wrestling real.
Yeah, or just like I think Anderson just comes out and goes, shut up. And I was like, that's how I was thinking. And I like all those
Carl
guys.
Carl Anderson is terrific on the microphone. Do you notice?
Yeah, he's great. And I love does Gallows remind you of like Kevin Nash so much?
Well, he's wearing the Big Daddy Cool outfit.
Yeah, it's like, and then the way he carries himself, and but I'm like, I mean that in a good way. I love that tag team right now. Is like, I love it.
I mean, you're digging the whole club, the whole Bullet Club angle.
I'm in the whole way. And I really hope, and I've said this before too. I hope they push the club to the moon because I think that you can do so much with that. With a strong heel group like that, like they need that right now.
I think they will, but I think, you know, what I'm speculating and what I think their best option is to have Bullet Club take over SmackDown.
Yeah.
Have them like be like the NWO of SmackDown and have them tell people to like not even watch Raw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just be like, oh, you know, Raw, who cares what's happening here? The club is dominating here in SmackDown. This is the good show.
Yeah, like when Raw becomes the clown show, like with New Day and like all these goofy acts and gold dust. And then we're the cool hip. We run this show. Yeah, I like that.
I'm sure they won't do that. I just think that would be cool.
Yeah, I've been hearing that rumor. I do hope SmackDown becomes kind of like the indie PG-13, a little bit more for adult show. Cause I think like, I'll tell you this, I watched Lucha Underground for the first time.
Yeah.
And I have a roommate who doesn't like wrestling, and I'll watch Raw and he'll walk back and forth and not pay attention.
Right.
I watched Lucha Underground. He started like looking over my shoulder and then he sat down and watched the whole episode. He's never sat down to watch wrestling ever, but there's something about that that was so different, so for adults and so, that it just kind of is kind of gripping. And I think they are ignoring a segment of the fans that are,
Lucha Underground. I went to a taping and then I watched after the taping. I was like, I gotta check out what's going on here. I think it essentially represents more of indie wrestling than WWE, and indie wrestling in general is eye catching.
Yeah.
It's becoming very much like a very spot fest oriented, right? Like it's a lot of cool moves that like grab your eyes. A lot of flipping.
Yeah.
A lot of like fast coordination.
Yeah.
Stuff that you don't see a lot of at all on Raw.
No, I think, yeah. And I'll tell you this, if you don't mind me stirring a little controversy.
No, do it up.
Big wrestling fan. You know, I'm a big wrestling fan. I don't know if I love PWG a whole bunch.
Wow.
I went to a couple shows.
I went last month to the last show.
They had, the one show I went to, they had Kenny Omega, and
yeah,
he's next level. He's the most amazing. Like, I think he's like a Shawn Michaels level dude. Big Kenny Omega fan. So that was amazing. And the main event was really great. But like the comedy in PWG and kind of like the crowds in on it and stuff, that stuff drives me nuts.
You know what? The show I went to, and I'm going to go the next show. I think I'm going to go pretty much all summer. Until I start being like, I don't want to spend $100 right now, you know, but I didn't see much comedy. There was nothing. There was no, I guess the funniest thing was Dalton Castles, but I really enjoyed him.
Yeah. And do you go to like Battle? I want to go to Battle Los Angeles. If I can make it to that,
I'm going to go. Yeah. I'm definitely going to go. And I heard that Cody Rhodes is going to be involved. So I think that could be cool. But So what's your take on, so you don't like the comedy of PWG?
I don't like like whenever we post like the slow motion bit and like the kind of I like Joey Ryan, like his like shtick, and I like his shtick.
He's got like the strongest dick.
Yeah. But some of the other shtick is like, it's like too, well, like I said, like when I'm watching the Japan stuff, what I like that is like, it feels like a fight. It's supposed to be presented like a fight, and the crowd treats it like that. And that I love. But then when it's like, when
that
they,
I love also.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't like about the intergender wrestling is you're like, okay, well, there's okay, fine. We're going to suspend my disbelief. And this woman who's like 5 foot can beat up this guy who's 6'5".
Yeah. Well, and the intergender stuff. And when I saw it in Lucha Underground, I actually was shocked because I usually am bothered by it when I see it because it's like, you know what it is? It's when like the woman, I've seen a lady who's like 5'5", double suplex the Young Bucks over her shoulder, and it's like, and they super jumped, and it just like, like I get having intergender matches, but like she's got to do Rey Mysterio stuff. Like Rey Mysterio fighting Big Show is ridiculous, just as ridiculous, size wise. But he made it work because
anything can work. You can sell me on it. You're like, okay, there's high flying, she's super fast, like evasive. But I've seen matches where I'm like, oh, we're just treating this like it's a guy of equal strength.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, oh well, I can't get into it. Maybe that's sexist. I don't think it is, because I really enjoy with a female wrestler, unless they look like China.
Yeah, and then China didn't.
China, I was like, she's the Intercontinental Champion. That never bothered me at all.
She's taller than Jericho. Sense. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the strength aspect has to matter.
Yeah.
Because we have to be like trying to recreate a fight, but it has to be fake. You know?
Yeah. Which is like why I love Brock, because Brock looks like what he does. Like when he goes out and kills people, you're like, great, there's a big bully monster.
Right.
He's real life. I believe that he could like throw these guys around. It's great.
Well, yeah. So, all right. So that's interesting. You are the first person I know who's had any beef with PWG. Speaking negatively about PWG is the same way I feel when I say that I'm not fully on board with Shinsuke Nakamura,
which is
I know you're a big Shinsuke guy.
I love Shinsuke. He's great.
And I think he's great also. I'll say that. I think that, first off, his packaging is incredible. His music, I listen to it in the gym.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was working out to Shinsuke's song on repeat. I was like, I love it. I love the way he acts. I love his taunt.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way he comes down to the ring. He's got the cool energy.
Waiting for this shoe to drop.
I can't cut a promo. Because he doesn't speak the language. There's a language barrier there.
Yeah.
That's a problem they're going to have to figure out if he wants to go up to the main roster. Because, like I said, the microphone matters a lot to me. Like The Rock and Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rollins on the microphone right now. I love him on the microphone. Yep. He's cutting promos. They matter a lot to me. Though he did do something I really enjoyed, which was said, he spoke in Japanese and said, I forgot you don't speak Japanese. Like Japanese is the ultimate language.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny and cool.
Yeah.
But I'm saying his wrestling, I think his matches, I'm not finding his matches as exciting as everyone else's. That's my thing.
I do think there's something I want to see him work for it more. Cause right now in NXT, He like the crowd's just already into it, no matter what. It's almost like it is like almost no matter what he does.
That's a little annoying for someone like me who is not coming in as a. I wasn't a Shinsuke mark before he came to WWE.
Yeah.
I watched Kingdom 10, so I saw him wrestle, was that AJ, I think?
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with his work before he came in, but I was like, all right, let's see what he's got. But he came in and they're just like going nuts for him already, and it's kind of annoying, I think.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I will say, like, if I had a criticism of Shinsuke, because I'm such a fan of Strong Style, to me his style isn't even, he's not the best Strong Style player. Like practitioner in
well,
Japan.
That's what I'm saying.
There is something about that. He is a little, but I still love. I compare him. I've done this before. I compare him to The Rock a lot because I think that the way The Rock like moved in the ring wasn't like, oh, he looks like a legit fighter, but he moved like The Rock, and nobody else.
Yeah.
Did the spine buster with the little kick, or kind of like did a little flourish before he like spit the hand and all this like stuff that it
takes the stunner with a three backward somersaults.
Man, I hated on The Rock during that like early 2000 run.
Right.
And then as soon as he's gone, I was like, oh no, I didn't even realize what we had here with him.
Yeah. That's how it always goes. It's relationships. Yeah.
I know.
Just, you never know what you had till it's gone.
It's true.
Which is, I feel all the time in wrestling.
Yes.
I feel that way about Edge.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right? I'm always like, oh, I miss Edge.
Yeah.
But then we got like a new Edge, which is like Rollins, but he wrestles a million times better.
Yeah. Rollins is, do you want to talk about the Shield, the Ambrose Asylum? Cause that was.
Yeah. Well, I think we got to get to Raw. Yeah. I just want to hear Shinsuke. Cause you say, I want to hear your whole assessment on Shinsuke while we're into him.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So to me, Shinsuke is like The Rock because nobody's moving like Shinsuke. Like nobody's delivering these moves and has that kind of this flair. And it doesn't necessarily read to me as like, he's the strongest, toughest guy, but I think he's like so himself that I think if he went to Raw and the crowd was dead for him,
right,
I don't think he would change his act one bit. I think he kind of like as an artist, he knows who he is and he doesn't give a shit if
that's what's cool about him. He does have that vibe of like, he has that vibe of like, yo, this is what I do, fuck off.
Yeah.
And I dig it. And his theatrics are cool. The Strong Style is not reading for me, and you're hitting on it. I watched him in person. I was at NXT TakeOver Dallas, and I've been like watching his matches closely to understand what Strong Style is, but it doesn't really look like he's hitting them. His knees don't look particularly like powerful where I'm like, oh my God, it looks like he's creaming them, but he's not. So I'm not understanding that. And he's not, you know, so I don't. And then also, like, his physique needs some work. And also, he looks a lot better than he did, though. So that's what I want to give him credit, is that when he came in, I think in the Performance Center, they got him working out like crazy.
Yeah.
They also made, he's wearing, like, the worst pants ever, I thought. They were, like, so baggy.
No, those pants are cool.
They're cooler now. They made them tighter.
Yeah.
They're still, like, baggy, but they're tighter. Alexis, look them up.
No, this is like the sixth time you've brought up these pants.
It looks like he's wearing like they look like they're a garbage bag. My friend Arlen Marmel, he called that out. It looks like he's wearing like the material is garbage bag and they're going to rip.
Embarrassingly, like at the beginning of the match, and he's going to wrestle pantless and it's going to be the best match.
Listen, I love a lot about it. I like he wears the mouthpiece. I think that looks cool.
Great.
I love the haircut. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. I love the music. He's got a lot going for him. I just feel like we're treating him. He's getting the treatment from you, too, of like that he's Rock Stone Cold level right now. And it's like, oh, my God. Well, he's going to get to that main roster and it's going to be dead silent. He needs some work.
I think he can get over. I do think like maybe early on if he gets like a Paul Heyman mouthpiece, like if Paul turns on Brock and does the Nakamura thing, like then you're in the zone.
Yeah.
Cause you'll get the passes really promos. And I also think that he can have like, cause Brock didn't talk when like his last run, how much has he done interviews? Not very often.
Sometimes he grabs a mic and you know that like he just decided to do it.
Yeah.
It wasn't planned.
I love a Brock promo and I love that they withhold
so
it. But I love like when he just like, yeah, I'm going to make John Cena throw up and then shit his pants. And he's just kind of like a weird, soft-spoken Midwestern monster. But he like, because he doesn't have any affectation on it. He just goes like, I guess I'm just going to throw him and kill him. And if he dies, that's his fault for having a stupid neck.
Right.
He's just like a weird, he's like truly like a bully. I love it.
Brock's awesome. All right. Well, we talk about this forever.
Sure.
And I believe Shinsuke will do some great things in WWE. I just think he's not as there yet as we're treating him, and I don't know how helpful that is to him.
Yeah.
But that's okay. He's done a lot of great work in Japan, so maybe he deserves it. I don't know. So this role, I felt
Let me stop you one more.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way about the way AJ Styles is treated in WWE? He came in as a big star. Do you think he's proven himself and deserves
AJ
his push?
AJ Styles in the ring is a million times more entertaining than Shinsuke to me.
Wow, okay.
AJ's came in here and had some big, awesome matches. Now, AJ, I've said it on the podcast before, I love AJ because I've known AJ for like 15 years when he was like the TNA guy, and I didn't think he was good, and he's came up and he's doing some great things. So I've seen his hard work.
Yeah.
So this guy's a little new for me.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feel that way? You don't like AJ?
No, I love AJ, but I'm just curious if, like, because I think there's some parallels where they, you know, have done their work elsewhere and then showed up. But I guess, yeah, if you've been following AJ and TNA, you kind of know that more. And honestly, too, I haven't followed Shinsuke super hard. I saw his first match with Brock Lesnar, which was kind of a squash.
Right.
And then I would catch a G1 match that somebody talked about every once in a while. So, but it was really like the last two Wrestle Kingdoms I saw where he did these matches that were great. And then, but there's something about him showing up and being already packaged is there's something nice about, like, you very rarely get that in the WWE anymore, or at least you didn't get that in the mid 2000s where somebody would show up and they're already like, boom,
it's Triple H.
Like the Jericho thing. Like, Jericho's debut is one of my favorite debuts of all time.
With The Rock in the ring.
Oh,
The Rock schooled him.
Yeah. But it was that pop is one of my favorite pops. Like, every once in a while, I will just look up that YouTube clip and just
watch it all the time.
I get goosebumps and I go, oh, I feel better. And I just, like, you
know. Especially because they teased it for so long with the countdowns, like, is the Y2K thing.
Yeah.
Was Y2J. Do you think, but Jericho is incredible on the microphone.
Yes.
So that's something that, you know, we'll see. Anyway, we'll go through Raw and then and I think we should start at the Shield thing.
Yeah.
You know, the point I was making before about Raw being goofy, they just had like a spot where it was like a segment of Kevin Owens, like he like messed with Del Rio's airplane travel. He like told them that he was suspicious or something at like the TSA or something. I don't know. I was like, that's a little goofy, but it's all right. I love Kevin Owens, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And then they did the whole New Day sneakers thing, and then. Mm-hmm. Then you got Enzo and Cass come out. They act like goofs also talking about like having sex with the trombone.
Yeah.
I felt like it was like bad attitude era segments. And then the Vault Villains show up and they start singing.
Yeah.
I just felt like, and then Kane brought a resume and a letter of recommendation from the Undertaker. And I was just like picturing Undertaker sitting down to write a recommendation letter for his brother Kane. It's just very silly, considering we have like a really cool pay-per-view coming up.
And also something I laughed every time they showed Del Rio with the ring bell. Like something.
Yeah.
Del Rio refuses to wear a shirt.
No, but his body's incredible.
Yeah. Like, I guess if I look like that, I would walk around in skivvies all day.
Yeah, I get it. I think he got a new tattoo that I'm not that into. It's like on his side.
I don't know if I've noticed yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm very into men physiques. We know that. this is the only pro wrestling podcast out there where a straight man is so obsessed with the physique.
Physiques and those pants.
Yeah, pants.
Every episode.
I think, look, I'm into the theatrics. We get into it. And that's where Shinsuke is doing great work.
Yeah.
Like, walking down to the ring, the music. I got to think that he had to approve that music. It's maybe the best wrestling song since, well, AJ Styles' song. I like his really song, great. Too. There's a lot of good songs coming out.
Have you seen the clip of Triple H coaching?
Loved it. He's like, yo, do some shit over here.
Lights, do the shit here. Go to these lights, do some shit here. Whatever you want to do, man, I don't care.
Yeah, he was like, yo, he didn't need that. He didn't need your coaching there. Oh, man. Anyway, so let's get into the Shield segment.
Yep.
I'm the biggest Seth Rollins mark going, I think. So I admit that. So I have a bias towards that. But feel free to, if you have any negatives on Rollins, we'll let them happen.
Yeah.
We'll let it happen. But yeah, so this Ambrose and Asylum segment, how'd you feel about that segment?
I liked it, and I'll say this in general about Money in the Bank is that they're creating, I think, a pay-per-view that I haven't seen in a while where I think there's a true air of unpredictability.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody with Roman Reigns, I say Roman Reigns probably going over, but this one's like, well, they like Rollins a lot. They gave him the title before. they're pushing, like if he comes back and then just loses, what it's like, I don't know who's going to win that match truly.
Yeah.
And then I like Dean Ambrose throwing that thing in the end where he's like, oh, this, like, what if I get the Money in the Bank and make it a three way? Like, that's a cool idea.
That was, I didn't even think about that possibility. Yeah. Why did I not think about that? I was like, oh, I'm so annoyed he even said it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if they just did that, I would have shit my pants.
I don't think he's going to do it right away, but I do think there's a Shield three-way for the title coming up. I think that's got it. That's going to be...
I think that's SummerSlam.
Yeah, SummerSlam I wonder where Brock lands in SummerSlam, but if not that, I think Shield three-way would be pretty good.
Brock at SummerSlam, my guess is Cena, Brock, no belt.
I wonder if it's time to do AJ Brock, or you wait that till
that'd be such
a tough match. But
we're gonna see. There's so many good possibilities. Yeah. Wrestling is awesome right now. That's the thing. Wrestling is just very exciting. And with the SmackDown becoming a relevant show, we'll see if how that pans out.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun. It's gonna be a fun summer. So I like this Shield segment. I thought it's cool. I have a lot of beef with Dean Ambrose. I don't like Dean Ambrose. How do you feel about Dean Ambrose?
I'll tell you what Dean brings for me that I like a lot. He has a looseness about him that I haven't seen since like Triple H and Shawn got to goof off back in the day.
Yeah.
Like he seems like he just says a lot of stuff that he just feels like saying, which I like kind of those little throwaway lines that are just for him.
Don't like it.
I'll tell
you why I don't like it. Ironic detachment.
I'll buy into where you come from.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he is saying things at the expense of the segment. Like he's pulling me out of the reality that they're trying to set up.
Yeah.
Where it's like, these guys hate each other. Like he was on the top of those ladders last week and he's just being like, are we going to fight? Are we going to fight? It's like, well, when you say that, then you make the idea of a promo stupid. Now you're setting up every other wrestler for failure as opposed to elevating each other.
Yeah. Because that segment particularly, it's like, we know this is going to end. Like there was that in his.
And he's not funny. Like, I don't find him funny.
There is a
he's going to kick my ass one day.
his joke, I think it was in the UK and he did a joke about that he found Ryback swimming in the Thames or something like that. That was so corny and it was so funny. He was like, he's doing monologues for the Ambers. I think he does some funny stuff.
Yeah, no, you can find, I mean, the potted plant thing. Look, it's funny. I'm saying he's not funny. I'm saying like it's funny, but it's not funny for a guy who has the potential.
Yeah.
To me, it's not funny because I'm watching him like squander his stance as a guy who was a potential heavyweight threat.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that because I think that like as far as like in the ring facial expressions and like the way he sells, he's almost like no better face than him as far as like taking a beating and then coming back with fire. So he should be. I think it's on him to be a little higher on the card, but you know, like I think it's a good thing.
Can't knock a guy for his booking either.
Yeah, exactly. Like I forget who was talking about this, but the idea of like, somebody's talking about this with AJ. It's easy to be cool as hell if you walk into the arena and you know that like, oh, I know I'm going to get booked over Cena, so no problem. So I'm going to act like a big asshole. I'm going to be the biggest jerk. And I know I'm going to win, so it's easy.
Right.
But if you know you're getting booked to lose, it's just like, how boastful can you actually be if you're like, nobody's, you know, like...
No, I mean, I agree, and that was my beef with the segment last week. No, it wasn't beef, but it was like... A total lose-lose for AJ when he's coming out and Cena's just going to be like, well, you've lost every big match. It's like, yeah, well, what he did was more impressive than winning. What AJ did was he got over by being booked to lose every match.
Yeah.
You're like, somehow the crowd loves him and they're making him lose to every pay-per-view match. But then if you just come at him and you go like, you lost, it's like, there's nothing you can say except for, yeah, I lost because it's scripted, you asshole.
Yeah.
That's the response he needs to say.
I kind of feel like they're saying that now, which is such a weird...
Yeah, AJ's been teasing it.
Yeah, it's been kind of like weird. I'll tell you one thing, the most atrocious thing about that booking is just like, I get it, you're building up Roman Reigns, and those matches made Roman Reigns better, they made AJ better.
Right.
But like, why did he lose to Jericho if they knew they were going to program him with Reigns for the title? That he lost to Jericho at WrestleMania is...
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense why he lost to Jericho, except for that I like Jericho winning, because then what's the point of Jericho if he's never going to win?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jericho needs to win big matches, or there's no point of him being around, like, these young guys. You know what I mean? Like, I like that there's a thing where it's like, oh man, maybe Jericho will win the Money in the Bank. Like, he won't, but it's not, like you're saying, unpredictability. Him winning at Mania makes you think there's a chance he could win.
Yeah.
Especially when Jericho is so good right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, are you liking Jericho?
Oh, Jericho, the stupid idiot gimmick is one of my favorite, this is one of my favorite segments of Jericho I've seen. Like, you know, because he comes back every, like, does like a 6 month stint and then leaves, but this is one of my favorite, like, stints he's had.
Yeah, the scarf and the dad body.
Oh, and it's, you know what's great about it is because, and this is something that WWE doesn't do a lot, but he did it, I guess maybe because he has the stroke, but like, he came in as a face, everybody was giving him shit for being like, oh, same old Jericho, dad joke Jericho, and then he took that kind of like natural resentment and then used that to turn heel, so the heel, like this heel turn feels like it has like real heat and real, it feels like right.
Yeah. No, I enjoy it. So the Rollins, we'll talk about that. We'll get into our predictions on that match. I'll say one thing about Rollins is that like, he has such a, like, you know, we both perform, you know, like his timing, I find, or like his patience on the microphone is very rare to find someone who has good timing like that.
Yeah.
At cutting wrestling promos. Like, he's like leading up to just being, hey, we had good times. You know when he's coming? It's like, we had good times like this. He's going slow. I'm like, I know it's gonna. Yeah. I know he. I know that he's. It's gonna. The shoe's gonna drop.
Yeah.
But I'm not actually sure like when, and like he's going at such a pace where you're like, there's a control there.
Yeah.
That I feel like you'd watch him get better and better and better.
Yeah.
When he's like, we had great times. Remember, we won the title belt. We did this, and then my best moment is when I turn my back on you guys.
Yeah.
And you never know when the shoe's gonna drop. Even though he's getting like formulaic, where it's like, I'm gonna be positive, and then I'm gonna get negative.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I find myself to be a sucker for his promos.
Well, I love that because I think that when you're doing sometimes I've done comedy bits that are basically like a one joke thing at the end.
Yeah.
And I used to when you're green, you rush through the setup because you're so scared that you want to get the laugh. You go right to the punchline, but then it's like, oh, but then as you get older, it's like, oh, you know what I love just being in the setup for 2 minutes and who gives a shit.
That's what I'm saying. It takes a lot of control.
Yeah,
like you're saying, it's something you had to learn from performing for a while to be like, I'm just gonna sit in this silence of setup.
Yeah.
You know, like I do a lot of stand up.
Yeah.
And I have some jokes where it's like, I just have to know that it's not going to be funny until I hit that moment.
Yeah.
But without that, the pop won't hit as much.
Yeah.
And just seeing wrestlers are not great at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They want that immediate satisfaction of the crowd. And I get it because it's a million people in the crowd. So let's talk about this match.
Yep.
Who wins, Rollins or Reigns? Who's going over?
I think it's going to be Reigns. I think he's gonna go over, but I do think it's gonna be in a way that will set up the three way for the Shield, or it'll be some sort of a screw job.
But
you know what's so funny is they really protect Reigns from doing schmozzy stuff, even though because they're still treating him, they still book him like the big face.
Do you think
hero.
They mess with the audio on Raw?
Uh-huh.
Remember when they were like pointing, they were like, "Is it gonna be Rollins?" And they were like, "Yay!"
Yeah.
And then they pointed to Reigns, and I was like, "Oh, it's gonna be a sea of boos." And then it was just like. It was like chance of but it felt like they met, and I know they've messed with the audio before for Reigns.
Yeah.
Do you think they did it?
I think they're writing the levels and stuff like that. It's so strange. Because I'll say this about when they started doing the line, I'm not a bad guy, I'm not a good guy, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
I was like, I think that's a great pivot for that. But because I think that like Reigns to me is like Tom Brady. Tom Brady doesn't do anything wrong.
Right.
He's one of the greatest football players of all time. He's got a beautiful wife. He's just like, he's handsome.
And you know, I love that.
Yeah.
I love a nice choice dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's got a great body.
Yeah. Keep going.
But the thing is, if you're a Steelers fan, like if you're, you know, a fat guy from Pittsburgh, you're going to be like, he's the biggest heel you've ever seen.
Even though
he doesn't do anything wrong. And I think that's what Reigns is. He's kind of like, it's like, of course he's the champion. Look at him, that blue-eyed monster.
Yeah.
And then I don't think
his eyes are blue. I think those were contact lenses that he took out. I think his eyes are brown now. But I don't know. I haven't got to look. I know he was wearing contacts.
Oh, yeah. I thought he had like freaky eyes, but I guess he had contacts in? I don't know.
That is a great point. Basically, you're saying is Kevin Owens is the hero of Pittsburgh. No, it's Kurt Angle. Anyway.
He's very Ben Roethlisberger-esque.
I'm going to say Roman Reigns wins that match, but I think Ambrose might schmazz it up or something.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, yeah. But I think it's too soon to give Rollins the belt, and like that's like giving it people, giving what they want too soon. It sucks, though, because...
Yeah.
Rollins deserves to just have the belt back. You know what I mean?
I am excited. I do think it's going to be, say this about Reigns, and I know a lot of people are booing him, and you can't rest on all those stupid chants, but those AJ matches were great, and it takes two to tango, and I'm like, I'm excited. I think Reigns is finally coming into, like, doing these big matches. And
yeah, Reigns was great on the mic. This is the best Reigns we've seen. His promo was the best I'd seen him do. Like, Rollins went, he went. It wasn't good, but it was pretty good for him.
Except for I didn't love, like, the big dog goes in, and then the big dog comes out. He's like, I don't know if he's the big dog or the guy or, like, what is his?
I don't know. It might just be working. I'm like, my brain just wants it to work so I can keep watching it. But I mean, I can't stand his like t-shirt cut into a vest. It looks terrible. Take the shirt off, Reigns. If he wants me at all, he better take that shirt off. You guys know that. The body. I need to see the physique.
I think he's got a little bit of a dad bod too. I think he looks a little like Nakamura, kind of like big but soft everywhere.
We literally Google it every week, and he looks pretty good with his shirt off. It makes no sense. Anyway, all right, cool. So we both think Reigns is going. Let's go. AJ Cena contract. So let's talk about AJ's progress.
Yeah.
So last Monday, he debuts as the heel, right? And then he cut.
Great turn.
Or that might have been two. I don't know when that was. But last Monday is when he came out and explained himself or whatever. I don't know the timing anymore. But then SmackDown, he cut a promo. He's cut three promos against Cena.
Yeah.
Since being a heel.
Yeah.
And his first one I thought was pretty rocky, because I thought that, like, you know, his performance is good. He's clearly like that veteran, like, you know, he's got that skill. But I thought that it was like Cena. Look, when you're cutting a promo against Cena, you're cutting a promo against the king.
Yeah.
That Cena is incredible on the microphone.
Yeah.
Which is what makes him he really is the guy to beat.
Yeah.
In so many ways. It's what makes him amazing. And it's why I'm like loving this iteration of Cena, where it's like all these guys are trying to come up and prove themselves. And it's like when you put him next to Cena, you see if they're good or not. Like Kevin Owens, you put him against Cena and you're like, oh, this guy's real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you put AJ up against him. I think you're going to see he's real, because they're going to have AJ's going to shine in that match.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a phenomenal match.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Oh. I feel like a. Now I feel like a mark.
No, it happens.
But it's true. But I do think it will be that.
I called him terrific the other day, but my friend was like, did you mean to say phenomenal? I was like, yeah, he's the phenomenal one. And so I think AJ cut that promo, and he was just kind of like, it was such a lose-lose for him, because he had to explain. It was like, why did you turn on Cena? Because it didn't really make sense.
Yeah.
It was like, why did you go heel?
Yeah.
Because you want to beat Cena, so you need backup. It didn't make sense. And then he mentioned that Cena buries guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. But his promos have been getting progressively better.
Yeah.
You know?
I like his performance. There is something about the angle, because the angle is, too, everything with Reigns was like, I'm going to beat him on my own. I don't need the club to do it. Like, because I'm a good guy. I'm going to fight. And then he turns on Cena so he can have the club as backup. Right. It's like, well, why didn't you... If you're willing to make that switch, why didn't you do it when the title was on the line? Or at least say, like, I screwed myself out of the title by not using all my assets, or like kind of like admitting that or something.
My beef is that he's getting close to a justification for it. He's getting close. But what he needs to say is that, like, you've never faced a guy like me.
Yeah.
You know, and this company is never going to see you get as beat as you're going to get beat. And that's why I got the club.
Yeah.
I got my guys here to protect us from whatever WWE is going to do to protect you.
Yeah.
That's all he's got to say.
Yeah, that's good.
Something like that, to be like, okay, I got these guys here to have my back, because I'm going to take down their guy.
Yeah.
But he keeps getting close to saying something like that, and then he cops out, bails last second, and just says, you can't beat me.
Yeah.
He goes, you can't beat me. And you're like, AJ, you're so close to cutting an incredible promo, because I know you're going to wrestle incredibly.
Yeah.
But you're not there.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating, because he's so close.
Yeah, It also, you know, I do kind of appreciate this, though. Like, somebody's talking about how The Rock used to just completely bury his opponents on the mic. And I think that, like, Cena actually is probably a good company guy, because he'll always, like, put the guy over and then put himself over.
But he's like, you're good. He has
But I feel like Cena in this one is actually he is putting AJ in this corner where he can't escape, like this logic corner of just like with the contract sign. It was like, you know, here's the contract if you're a man. Here's the contract if you're a jerk. And then it's like, Well, AJ's like, well, I turned heel so I could have the club, but now I need to prove that, well, I'm not a bitch, but it's like, it's put him in a position where he can't come out looking good. And right. It's like, it's really hard.
No, it's unfair.
Yeah.
It's unfair. It's because it's all booking. They've booked AJ into a corner and he's still succeeding.
Yeah.
Like that's a phenomenal trait. But yeah. I will say that this is the second contract signing. They had the female contract signing where like Charlotte saw the stipulation that her dad couldn't be a ringside.
Yeah.
And this is one where there's like two contracts. They're finally figuring out a way to make the contract signings interesting.
Yeah.
Like Cena's like there's two contracts. Those contracts were the stupidest looking contracts ever. They're like literally just it said AJ Styles versus John Cena. One said with the club, one without, a little like two lines of fine print.
Yeah.
You're like, think about all the insurance that goes into like a fight.
Yeah.
You're like, that's what the contract is.
I don't know why I noticed, but I also like that they put the name of the arena that they're gonna fight in. It was like the Mazda Arena in Vegas.
Pay-per-view, whatever. Who cares? It doesn't bother me. But yeah, I'm glad that AJ signed the right contract.
Yeah.
I was like worried he's gonna sign the club one, and I was like, that's not cool.
Yeah. But also, I'll tell you this. I don't know if this will happen because this seems unconventional. I don't know if we could talk predictions on this one already. But
yeah, let's go. Let's get into predictions. Get into it because we're probably killing time too much.
Yeah. So so with the club not there, I'm wondering if there's some like heelish thing where this is going to be Finn's debut, comes in, joins the club. But I don't think they want Finn as a heel. And with his size, it doesn't make sense to be a heel on that main roster. But there is something about it. If like, oh, the club's not coming, but Finn can come. And
yeah,
interfere.
I mean, look, I don't know. Because Finn lost at NXT TakeOver.
Yeah, Finn's got to be.
Finn lost it. He did not win that title back. Yeah. And him not getting that title back made him look pretty soft in the NXT arena, which is normally a sign that they're going up the roster.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see Finn soon. We're going to see Finn before SummerSlam.
Finn is a SmackDown guy. I can almost like, if they do the kind of that twist on it, Finn should be in SmackDown. I don't know if he should be in Bullet Club, but you know, Finn works social media harder than almost anybody. Do you follow him on anything?
Oh yeah, of course.
He's
I follow every wrestler.
He does all the Bullet Club stuff. He's always doing. He also has this funny thing where he has a pose where he puts his arms down by his side and he smiles really big. It's just funny.
It's funny. I saw him the other day. He was wearing like bags on his feet.
Yeah,
because he was like in rain doing that exact pose.
He seems like a funny guy. But he's teasing the Bullet Club so much. I don't think it makes sense to he's got such a great act as a face. I don't know if that works as a heel, but, you know, obviously he did a lot of time as a heel, so he could do it. But I think with him and AJ, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Finn needs some mic work.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he's going to factor in on the main roster with the mic work, because his entrance is going to look a lot stupider on a big ramp.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In a big arena, it's going to look... It's not going to look as cool, honestly. I'm not the biggest Finn guy.
Yeah.
I think he's great. I mean, look, I recognize the potential of Finn Balor. Yeah. I mean, he's a big wrestler. I find his demon thing is cool, but I like he wears like that Rasta hat. There's always like something a little off about it.
Yeah,
where I'm like, all right, cool. And then I haven't seen him cut like a great promo. So for me, I think his best bet is to come up and be in the club. Like that would make me love him.
Yeah.
And he wears that like Wolverine leather jacket.
Yeah.
And he does that. And then he busts out the demon only for pay-per-views. Like I think it could work. If he comes up as like a good guy and he's like, he's a little like, I don't know. I think he needs a stable. You know, I think he needs the support.
I'll say this about Finn. This is actually something I realized watching this last NXT was Finn. I'm like, on paper, I'm a Finn Balor fan. I'd call myself a Finn Balor fan, but he's never had my favorite match at a TakeOver.
Don't love it. I don't love his moveset.
Yeah.
Like if I was choosing him in like WCW Revenge or something, I'd be like, oh, I don't like these moves.
I hate the sling blade. I hate that move. And I don't know why, where he does like a little
twisty pull down. The sling blade is like a very new age move. Like these are moves that we're now calling finishes.
Yeah.
And you're like, doesn't feel like a finish. I don't know. I don't, the coup de grace is not like my favorite either. I mean, it's okay. I don't like that. He does a, you know, like a scorpion deathlock into like a slam, you know, I don't know what that's called either, but something's always like a little off, but he looks awesome.
Yeah.
Tremendous physique.
Yes.
I mean, he's got the perfect bod.
Yeah.
Look him up, Finn Balor.
Yeah. He, for some reason, he's the one that, like, I would say, like, he's going to be a big star because he, I think he's, I think ladies will love him because I think he looks super fuckable. Like, he looks like a
very handsome.
Yeah, very handsome guy, Irish brogue. It's like, he's, I could see him being crossover star just because he's like the guy that. When they come out, like, it's like the Reigns thing. Like, it's so funny when you watch the crowd shots when Reigns' music hits.
Yeah.
Like, the one third of the audience that's the women, they all jump to their feet. They're into it. Like, I can see why that works. And I think Vince always goes for that.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting. He's going to be like, he's a guy that I know why they're like hesitating to bring him up because they're like, oh man, we don't want to mess this up. We have like such a, like a beautiful face.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And the painting, it's so marketable.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much.
Kids wearing the hat.
Oh my God. It's like, if I was a kid, it's like, he has like a, it reminds me of Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Because he's like a guy who has like, I don't want to insult him. He's got more personality than Bret Hart. He's got more personality, but he's a lot of frosting, a lot of all, like, you know what I mean? Like cool merch that. And they're like, oh, we got to make sure when he comes up, he makes a big splash. And that's why they should wait till they do the split, because then he could be the champion of SmackDown right away.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, AJ quick, Cena.
I this is such a strange tangent, but my buddy, I have a buddy of mine who wrestles now. His name's Jack Manley. He wrestles in like Vegas and Portland, does like a bunch of West Coast indies.
That's awesome.
He's awesome. Whirlwind Gentleman. They're Remy Marcel, Jack Manley, the Whirlwind Gentleman. They're great.
Check them out.
Jack Manley would do an in-ring impression of Bret Hart that's the funniest thing you've ever seen. He would wrestle these matches where he would be like, oh, I'm going to wrestle like Bret tonight. Yeah. And he would like look exactly like Bret. He'd always have his mouth hanging open. He'd always like have the right punch. Like, it's like a weird physical impression that's the funniest thing because everything he does looks exactly like Bret Hart. It's such a weird thing that wrestlers do.
Does he have video of that? I'll check that out.
I don't know if they have.
Is it as good as your Bray Wyatt impression?
Oh, thank. No, nothing's as good as that.
I don't know why I didn't bring that up, but
Oh yeah, we did a little Bray. I was more bearded then. I've kind of trimmed the beard, which I don't know if because I did a second Bray Wyatt video with my trimmed beard. I lost the power.
No, it was awesome. All right, we got to get into the predictions. AJ Cena, who's winning?
I think AJ's going over.
Yeah, I think AJ's going over too, but it's going to be clubbed, schmozzed up.
I could see there being some schmoz. I really hope it's a Finn run in and it like Finn schmozzes it up and joins the club.
Yeah.
Be a big moment. I think it'd be a big debut. I think Cena's a good guy for. I think actually Cena in his post US title years is good for putting people over. So I think he will make sure AJ gets a good go.
Okay, cool. Now, the Money in the Bank guys, we're going to get into that match. There's nothing to talk about, really, with the match. They're Raw. Raw has been like the same matches over and over. It's like Dean Ambrose, Jericho. All right, fine. Now we'll swap it. We'll make it Cesaro, Jericho, Zayn. Like every match. They're all cool, but they're like, I just get bored of all these matchups. And it's also making that like, they're like running all those matches into the ground. But that's okay. So Money in the Bank. Who's winning Money in the Bank? Briefcase.
For the longest time, I was going to say Owens was my guy.
I said Owens also. And then I've Dean changed.
The Dean thing makes me think it's going to be Dean.
Yeah, I think Dean's going to win the briefcase. And I think it makes sense. It sucks because I want it to be Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
But if you already got Reigns and Rollins up there in the belt contention, the guy you want holding that briefcase is Ambrose for storytelling purposes.
But the thing with Owens is, he's this type of wrestler that would be that he could hold the briefcase for like 4 months, like one of those guys that holds it for a long time, and that's his new gimmick.
Yeah,
like he could milk that so hard, and so he'd be so good at being the guy holding the briefcase.
I know, and I love when they hold it for a long time.
Yeah,
like being Mr. Money in the Bank is a great crown for somebody to wear for like 8 months.
Yeah, I love that. Because isn't that how Seth did it? He had it for a while.
Seth had it until Mania. Yep. He went from Money in the Bank to Mania. And he was the briefcase was all dinged up.
Oh yeah,
it was awesome. It was like faded.
Yeah, he had the green mist trap that Dean Ambrose set was in there.
Yeah, that was so stupid. That was so stupid. So you're saying Ambrose?
I think Ambrose, but I wouldn't be surprised. And actually, you know, as soon as you said it, I get excited about Jericho with the Money in the Bank would be interesting to me. I also think
Yeah, because Jericho's just always dangerous.
Yeah, I think. You know? He would be, I like, man, Jericho, because Jericho's so hot right now. I think he's just like,
I honestly could really see good. Any of these guys winning it.
Yeah.
Like even Del Rio.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to win, but it really did a good job of like, this is the first year. There's no stunt casting or, you know, there's no one in there where you're like, The 100% they can't win. Like, Cesaro could win it.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think Cesaro needs to, as soon as he's done with this, needs to get the IC belt. I think him with the IC belt is going to be strong.
But we're both saying Ambrose?
I'm going to say Ambrose, yeah.
I think Ambrose is just the most interesting choice. It stinks because I hope it's Owens.
Well, I'll say this, though, too. You could do the three-way Shield match without Money in the Bank. You could, like, just book that in some way.
Yeah, I know.
All right, you know, I'm gonna say Owens.
You're gonna stick with Owens?
Yeah, I think it's just...
You think we just got worked? Maybe,
yeah, I think so.
I said Owens so hard on the last podcast, it's embarrassing that I changed it. All right, I'll go to Owens also. All right, let's get to the rest of this card here. We're just
proving that you're easily swayed.
Fatal four-way tag match. Vaudevillains. The Bullet Club.
New Day
and...
Enzo Cass.
Who do you think wins this?
I think especially if AJ wins the Cena match, I think you go club. I think you got to start building up the club.
I think they should give it to the club also. I think New Day, they are teasing that, like, they're going to be the longest running tag champs.
Yeah. But you know what? They did that with Brie Bella and took it away like a day earlier. Like, I think they
Nikki
liked
Bella?
Whichever one. I don't.
No, she won.
Who was the
she won it? She got the title and then lost it the next day. Like, she set the record.
Yeah,
apparently because John Cena was saying that, like, convinced them to not give it to Charlotte.
I try to avoid that sex to the dirt sheets.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows if it's even true?
Yeah. I think club. I like Enzo and Cass, but I think Enzo and Cass are such a great chase team.
Yeah,
like, they're just like going for the belt. So I think if you get club, build them up. And then have Enzo and Cass.
I think
chase
give
them.
It to the club. Like, this is the time to just give it to them. Set them as, like, the top dudes, and then they can feud with New Day for a little bit for the belts. It works out.
Yeah,
yeah. I'd say club. I'm gonna choose club.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we got? We got
Rusev and Titus O'Neil.
Rusev, Titus. I mean,
Rusev.
Yeah,
what are you
Rusev.
Kidding?
That's
a great act. I love that guy.
Yeah. And then the women's match. It's just like a throwaway women's.
It's like
tag
a tag match, right?
Yeah.
Then I don't know
Charlotte's team. Whatever.
Yeah.
Unless I think that they're going to use this match to set up the Dana Brooks Charlotte feud.
Do you think they're going to do that? They got to get Sasha in the mix again.
Yeah, but I think they're waiting for SummerSlam, and I think she was like a little hurt.
I think she's hurt. I think they said she's close to coming back.
I don't understand what they're doing with Sasha.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Then there's Ziggler, Corbin. I mean, pre-show, whatever. Who cares? I'll say Ziggler, and then Sheamus, Apollo Crews.
Oh gosh, that's
Apollo Crews.
Yeah,
why did they bring up Apollo Crews so soon?
Yeah, that's too bad. I'm not a giant Apollo Crews fan, or at least what he did in NXT.
Neither am I. He was way too fast brought up. I think.
Yeah, I think he's like. I definitely like see on paper everything about him, like his physicality and his look and his like of course, yeah. But he just never quite. I don't think he's quite found himself yet.
No, like, he has like what's his gimmick? Being good.
And also and this is very childish, but whenever his entrance where he does this thing, like with his arms and then steam comes out, it just looks like he's like, if I was in high school and had more time on hands, I would edit in a fart sound in that like make myself laugh for days.
Yeah.
It looks silly. It looks like,
He's
like going through the motions of it a little bit and not quite has his own flair. I mean, I think it's just a time thing. I think he'll be really good, but he's not there yet.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be exciting pay-per-view. Last thing I want to talk about is, how do you feel about American Alpha losing those belts at NXT TakeOver? Did that surprise you?
No, because I think that indicates that they're going to go to SmackDown.
Yeah, do you think they're coming up? I mean, they seem ready, but it's very fast.
Yeah, I think if it's true, I've heard the rumors that SmackDown and Raw are going to have their own tag titles, so I think they just need a lot of tag teams in the mix. I think the Revival is good because at NXT, they'll just take all contenders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think American Alpha is like, they're good to go.
Because like Finn and Alpha, it's like they lost, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Wow, that was interesting.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, I, just to break off an NXT tangent, I don't know why I am so excited about Tommaso Ciampa. He might be my favorite guy on NXT right now. Like, something about him is just like so legit.
Who did he wrestle?
He's I think they're setting up Ciampa.
Ty Dillinger? Did he beat Ty Dillinger?
No, that was Adrian, oh. The new CN. No, Tommaso Ciampa.
Which guy's Tommaso Ciampa?
And Johnny Gargano. They teamed
up.
Oh,
yeah.
Beat the Revival on the week before.
I guess I'm not that excited about them.
Oh,
I don't even remember who they are.
I'm not so excited about Gargano, and he's really good. But
yeah, Gargano is.
But Ciampa is like he's got the mohawk, and he's just mean as hell.
Yeah.
He's just like, something about him is reads is very legit. And he had a match against Samoa Joe a couple months ago, and ever since then I've been like, dude, this guy's the guy to watch. I think he's like,
oh, I'm gonna check him out.
Yeah,
I'm gonna check him out. So it's exciting pay-per-view. I'm pumped for this pay-per-view.
It's gonna, like I said, I think the title match, Cena AJ, and I think the tag titles,
yeah,
I think, like, usually I have a pretty good idea what's gonna happen. All three of those matches, I'm just like, I think it could be this, but I honestly don't know which way.
That's what makes
go.
It cool, is that we don't really, you know, even though we both have the same exact prediction,
yeah,
we don't know. Sweet. Matt, thanks for coming by. How can we find you on the social medias?
You can check out my my directing team, Cascade Up, at www.cascadeup.rocks, like rock and roll rocks.
Yeah.
And then on Twitter at Cascade Up.
Sweet.
And then check out Gay of Thrones, the show I produce and write for on Funny or Die.
Oh, yeah. Gay of Thrones is great.
Every Tuesday.
I love that. I like that. And I love Game of Thrones. I love the show. I love the show. Yeah, no, that's great. You can find me on Twitter at DBlackAttack. Also, I'm going to start getting in the mix of telling people to rate and review this podcast on iTunes. So we're going to... Alexis, remind me to start with this next podcast, all right? We're trying to be professionals here.
And rate it 5 stars.
Rate it 5 stars. If you rate the podcast 5 stars, and then you write your thoughts from wrestling for the week, I'm going to read them on the podcast. We're going to go through them. We're going to tell you if you're right or you're wrong.
Wrestling fans have opinions.
That's right.
We want to hear them.
So rate and subscribe and tell your friends. And we were the 99 ranked sports and rec podcast on the whole internet web podcast, iTunes pool, whatever
the
fuck it is. Out of 5 million.
Yeah, there's so many podcasts.
Out of 5 million sports and rec podcasts. Yeah, I have a picture of it to prove it. But yeah, rate and keep listening, all right? And let's enjoy, have a safe Money in the Bank.
Awesome.
Okay, bye-bye.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.